Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Truth Be Told Minuteman Report. This is Robert Hensley coming to you live from an undisclosed location somewhere in North America. And today we are talking about the conspiracy of Groom Lake, or the Groom Lake conspiracy. And Groom Lake, if you're not sure, is another name for Area 51, right? So let's get into this, because there's actually a lot to talk about here. So Area 51 is a highly classified United States Air Force facility within the Nevada desert, right? It's part of the Nevada Test and Training Range. It's a remote detachment administered by Edwards Air Force Base, and it's officially it's on GPS now, right? It has airport tags, right? So it's officially called the Homey Airport, and that's XTA/KXTA if you're a pilot. Although there are warnings now by the government that even though it has an airport tag or an airport identification, that it should not under any circumstance be seen as a potential landing site for domestic or pedestrian traffic. It's near Groom Lake, which is a salt flat that's next to the airfield. So that's where the Groom Lake comes from. There's not actually a lake there. It was there at one time, but it's not there anymore. But Area 51, right? So it's located in the southern portion of Nevada, about 83 miles north-northwest of Las Vegas. And the area surrounding Groom Lake is very popular with tourists. There's a small town near there called Rachel, which many include as part of the extraterrestrial highway. So here's the thing. So there aren't a lot of details about Area 51 that are declassified, right? We know that the operations there are not public. The Air Force officially says that it's an open training range. It's commonly thought to support the development and testing of experimental aircraft and weapon systems. Some of which, some believe, that technology may be based on technology from another planet, right? So it's off-world technology. So here's the thing. It is a top secret, super restricted site. I'm popping up a photo here. So if you're watching on YouTube, you see this. If you're listening to the podcast, what it is it's the Nellis Bombing and Gunnery Range Restricted Area sign. And now if you see this sign, right, which are all around the perimeter of Area 51, it says no trespassing beyond this point. Photography is prohibited. And then there's a little tiny sign off to the side that it says it's a warning, restricted area, blah, 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 blah. And then in the tiniest letters, right, at the bottom of the sign, it says use of deadly force authorized, right? And that is no joke. In the late 1990s, there was actually a guy who drove onto the airfield and made it as far as into Area 51, being chased by security, and he jumped out of the truck with a cylindrical object. Some people said that it was a telescope. Other people claimed that it was a rifle, but he was shot and killed. No joke. So, you know, just keep that in mind. Whatever is happening there, it is strictly under wraps. So what we do know, right? So the United States Air Force acquired the site, which was already an airport, or a range of whatever kind. They acquired the site in 1955 primarily for flight testing the Lockheed UT aircraft, which is the original spy plane. There was intense secrecy surrounding the base. It, of course, anytime you have anything that's that top secret, somebody's going to believe that something's being done there and make, you know, they're going to come up with conspiracies. So it was already kind of this thing where people had a little buzz. There was a little tickle about what was happening there. And it kind of became the central component to a lot of UFO conspiracies. It was never, how do we say this? Area 51 was never declared a secret base, right? the research, occurrences, everything kind of fell under military jurisdiction. But all of that work did fall under the top secret, sensitive, compartmented information acts, the TS/SCI Act. And the CIA didn't publicly acknowledge the existence of anything happening at Area 51 at Groom Lake until June 25th of 2013, following the freedom, following a Freedom of Information Act request that was filed in 2005. So it took 8 years for them to actually get around to declaring or publicly acknowledging that the Nellis bombing and gunnery range, or Groom Lake or Homi Airport, Area 51, actually existed as a government property. It was Barack Obama. President Barack Obama was the first executive to publicly mention Area 51 while in office, right? Which I think was kind of cool. So within official channels, the CIA and the Air Force admit to using this rise in conspiracy theories as a great cover. So as they're flying these test planes and they're trying out new equipment and all this stuff, they said that it kind of worked in their favor that people thought that this is where alien technology was being stored, or where they thought, because as long as people were seeing UFOs, no one was questioning what was actually being seen in the skies over New Mexico. So it worked in their favor. However, it is claimed that the UFO wreckage and alien bodies recovered in Roswell, New Mexico in 1947 were taken to Area 51. And this was before it became official United States Air Force property. And that scientists there have been developing new technology by reverse engineering alien technology gained through crash landings and other forms of contact. You know, is it real? Is it not? No one's going to tell us. You know that, right? It's government can cover up. No one's going to say, oh, this is what we've got. However, there have been numbers. I mean, not huge numbers, but there have been people who've come forward saying that throughout the 1950s or throughout the 1960s, even into the 1980s, saying that they had worked at Groom Lake, at Area 51 or areas around Area 51, and they were exposed to radioactive materials and technology that did not exist on planet Earth, aside from these kind of alien components that they were studying at Area 51, right? So let's talk about the most, maybe the most talked about of those people is an engineer by the name of Bob Lazar. Right. So in 1989, Bob Lazar claimed that he worked at Area 51's Section 4, S4, which was an underground facility inside the Papoose Range near Papoose Lake, which is on the outskirts of Area 51. And he claimed that he was contracted to work with alien spacecraft that the government had in its possession. Lazar claimed that he examined an alien craft that ran on an antimatter reactor that was powered by something called Element 115, which at the time had not been, didn't exist, right? Now, later in the 1990s, the Russian government did manage to create Element 115, but it is highly unstable and highly radioactive, and we have not been able to synthesize a form of this that could be used as a fuel. Just so you know. He also claims to have read U.S. government briefing documents that describe alien involvement in human affairs going back tens of thousands of years, right? So he's talking about there being evidence or documentation from the United States government that really kind of lays out a history of our interaction with peoples from beyond the stars. His claims brought public attention to Area 51 and fueled many conspiracy theories surrounding what at the time was highly classified. And then, you know, and this is where it gets a little tricky. So after making his claims, Bob Lazar, his education, his credentials, past job experiences, all this stuff, just seemed to kind of be erased, right? So Lazar claimed that he had earned a master's degree in physics from MIT, that he had a master's degree in electronic technology from the California Institute of Technology. However, looking back now, there are no records of Lazar ever attending these schools, although his family knows that he did. But there's no sort of confirmation able to come from the schools because the records are gone. He was supposedly employed at Nellis Air Force Base at a Nellis Air Force Base subsidiary. But again, this was discredited because they're saying that there are no records of him ever being employed by Nellis Air Force Base. He alleged employment as a physicist at Los Alamos Mason physics facility within the Los Alamos National Laboratory. And oddly enough, Los Alamos, poof, no records of him ever working there. But there are newspaper articles from a Los Alamos, New Mexico newspaper dated 1982, which actually focus on Bob Lazar. They talked to him in the interview about his interest in jet-powered cars. There's even a 1982 Los Alamos National Laboratory phone directory, right? And even though the laboratory has denied any claims that he'd ever worked there, there's a Bob Lazar listed right there in the book. And people are kind of like, oh, well, he was never really employed there. He wasn't employed by the government. He was a technician that was working for a private company that had been contracted. Doesn't matter. Whether or not he worked for another company, he worked at the site, obviously. He's in the damn phone book. You've got media covering the fact that he worked there, that he was working in jet propulsion, that he obviously was working in a field of study that makes sense for why he might be tapped to come into a top secret study on something to try to figure out if they can reverse engineer technology. Anyway, it just seems kind of odd. This poor man, his entire life, he's gone through a lot. I mean, there have been multiple police raids, and he seems to be always under investigation for something, even the most minute thing. So I think that whatever Bob Lazar started talking about or started saying, he was kind of pissing off the right people because they wanted to make sure that he came across as being a total whack job and had everything kind of stripped from his life. They've tried everything to get him put away, locked up, whatever. I mean, it just really to kind of destroy this guy. And as far as I know, Bob Lazar is not doing interviews. He's not speaking to the public. His last known whereabouts are somewhere in Florida. And if I were Bob, I'd stay in fucking hiding. Sorry. Oops. I used the F word. I would stay in hiding. In the summer of 2019, right? Start of the pandemic, June 2019, more than 2 million people responded to a Facebook proposal to storm Area 51, right? They had scheduled this thing called Storm Area 51. They can't stop all of us. It was scheduled for September 20th, 2019, and it drew wide media attention because they weren't really sure. Were these people going to show up in Nevada and try to force their way onto Area 51. And at the time, Air Force spokeswoman Laura McAndrews said that the government, quote, would discourage anyone from trying to come into the area where we train American armed forces, unquote. Now, remember, these are the same people who shot a man dead just for driving into the place, right? And they didn't even look to see if it was a gun or a telescope. He just had something in his hand, so they shot him. Anyway. Alien Stock and Storm Area 51 Base Camp were two music festivals planned for the Nevada desert to try to popularize or capitalize on the popularity of the original Facebook post, which ended up did draw 1,500 to 3,000 people to the Nevada desert. And 151 of those idiots actually made their way to Area 51. They were headed on the roads. They were coming towards the gates. And they were stopped. There ended up being 7 people arrested from that blitz. And again, I know it's not a lot, but that is what has been declassified about Area 51. We know that it's a place where they test missiles, test weapons, train armed forces, play with spy planes, that the early flights of spy planes kind of gave rise to the UFO phenomenon around Area 51, and that even though there are people who've come out and publicly spoken about the times that they've spent at Area 51 working with alien technology, crafts, and seeing documentation that proves that there's evidence that this is a long, or that there is a long relationship between humans and alien civilizations, most of that is going to stay hidden. And if it doesn't stay hidden, if you talk too much about it, they come for you. That's what I'm picking up from all of this. So anyway, I hope that answers some of your questions about Area 51, about Bob Lazar. He's a really interesting dude. You should read up on him if you get a chance. Even as just to take a peek at the wiki page. This has been a new weekly episode of Truth Be Told Minuteman Report. I am and your Minuteman, Robert Hensley, and I want to thank you for joining me today. Remember that there are always 3 chances every week for new content with Truth Be Told. There's me on Mondays at 3 p.m. Bonnie has Truth Be Told Transformation on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. And Tony, of course, has the original Truth Be Told on Fridays at 3 p.m. Please visit us online. Subscribe if you haven't already. Like, share, let other people know what we're doing if you really enjoy the content. And if you want to know more, visit us online at www.truthbetoldworldwide.com. And be sure to click on the shop button to see what we've got in our little gift shop there. All right. Thanks again, everyone. We will see you next time. Have a good one.